In the reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Oh, that's good. Now, I had a little note in the order of service saying that this is a short children's talk. So, have you got any short children here? No, it's for every child of ever height, and also of every age as well. Now, you may be wondering, normally we're off to our classes by now. Why not? Well, today you've got a special privilege in that you get to hear the first part of the sermon. And I'm going to keep it to about 5 minutes or so. So it's not going to be too long. But why this one? Well, this one is because Paul, who's writing this book, this letter to Ephesians, is actually writing this part to children. He's actually addressing you. So I've thought about sending all the adults out with Chris, with Linda at this point and just leaving the children in. But I thought, no, that's probably not fair on Linda. So you're here as well. So this is the verse that we start with. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, you might think, well, that's not very exciting. But it is something that is there. And you might think, well, does God really like children, or do we have to grow up first before he likes us? Well, yes, he does like children. And I'm going to tell you a story, or just remind you of a time that Jesus was sitting there. Mothers were bringing the children to him. But the disciples thought, oh, look, Jesus is too busy for all this. You don't need to bring them. They're not very important. But Jesus said this. Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So Jesus considers children very important of whatever age. So, why should I obey my parents? I'm going to give you three very quick reasons, and then we go from there. One, it's because it's part of God's commandment. Way back in the time when people were coming out of Egypt, God gave 10 commandments. Number 5 was this. Honour your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. And God promises a blessing to those that keep that command. Long life in there. So, yes, it's the commandment there, and it's based on that commandment. Number 2, your parents know the pitfalls of life because they've been through it. I'm going to give you some warning signs which come in life, which you'll see from time to time, and see if you can tell me what they're warning against. Here's the first one. That's fairly straightforward, isn't it? Dad always used to tell me of the farmer that put a sign on his fence saying, enter freely, the bull will charge later. But beware of the bull, you want to stay out of that field. A caution. Here's another one. Danger. Thin ice, deep water, stay out. Very tempting, nice flat surface. Well, that'd be nice to bring your skates on, wouldn't it? To walk across that river, but it's thin ice. You're in danger if you do. Well, how about this one? Danger, open hole. Where's the open hole? There it is. If you go running across there, you might find yourself actually in the at the bottom of that hole. Now, all those signs are good because they warn of dangers, but they're only effective if those signs are obeyed. If you ignore the signs won't do you any good whatsoever. So give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways, is what the Bible says. Think carefully. Listen to your parents and do what they say, because they've been through these pitfalls and they know some of the traps that there are. And the third reason is God's given them a job to do. And this is what it says there, to bring you up in the training of instruction of the Lord. To bring you up and provide for you, give you meals, but also to tell you about Jesus and why we worship him and what he's done for us. I will teach you the way which you should go, the Bible says. As the psalmist says to the parents, this is what we want you to do to the next generation. So, pray for your mums and dad, whatever age you are, if they're still with us. Be patient with them. And remember God's love for them and for us. They're looking to guide you in the right way. Last thing. Did you notice those three words? In the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, it's as if you're serving Jesus, you obey your mum and dad. You do it as if you're serving Jesus. And sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's not easy, but he can give you the strength that you need. We all make mistakes, we all go wrong. And if you do make a mistake, say sorry to them and to God. And lastly, on this one, sometimes even parents have been rumoured to make mistakes. All these parents look at me saying, what, us? Never. Forgive them. Because we all make mistakes. So if their parents get something wrong, then do forgive them as well. So promise to the children. This is what the parents are looking to do as a church and as family members. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Okay. I thought the reading was very short today, but I just read that again to you so it's fresh in your minds. This was the reading we had. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The sermon part two. Slightly more than 5 minutes this time, I'm afraid. But having a look at that passage, we're going to start as a church a period of about 6 weeks where we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about bringing up children. And some of it's going to be challenging. In fact, all of it probably is going to be challenging. We're just going to look at some of these passages here. Some of it you might think, well, that's okay, I can go to sleep for the next 6 weeks since I don't have any children. And it's tempting to that, but do come, and because we do need to pray for parents. They have a difficult job, and they do need our prayers. And our support as well. Now, in February 2022, do you remember February 2022? I was preaching again. And the passage was this one from Deuteronomy 5:16. Honour your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now it's a command that comes with a promise. And you might think, oh good. One of my instincts was, oh good, I can just get that sermon out again and preach it to you today. But there is a slight difference today, because we're looking at it from a very slightly different perspective. And I'll come to that as we go along. Paul refers to that message in our reading. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That's he quotes in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 2 and 3. He's just quoting that commandment we just saw. But did you notice there's a difference between the words that Paul uses when he instructs in verse 1? Children, obey your parents. Honour your father and mother. The difference. And then I just wanted to, as we go into that, to have a quick check on that. They're not the same thing, but they are similar. To honour, to treat with respect, give weight to what they say, value their judgment. To obey, follow their instruction, submit to their leadership, do what they say. And I think the reason for the difference is that Paul's writing to younger children here. Paul's writing to children they're dependent on their parents at this age. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. They're at home, and there they do need to obey what their parents say. We go through, as children, different stages in our relationship between us and our parents. As young children, we're learning the ropes, and parents are there to guide us and help, and we need to obey them, to listen to them, and to learn from them. But time moves on, as it does quite quickly nowadays, and eventually we come to be grown-up children. We move out of the house, and maybe to start our families of our own. But we should still respect, we still let the efforts to consult. But now we have to make our own decisions. We take into account what they say, but we're not duty-bound to obey them, because our lives now are under our control, as it were. So do respect and consult. But there's another stage of life as we grow up as children. Time keeps going, and eventually, when our parents are elderly, they need our help. We still need to listen and to respect them, and to hear what they say and make sure that we value them. But we now have a responsibility to care and provide for them, that they're looked after. So three stages in life there. Paul at the start is addressing the young stage. Obey your parents. And just to say a bit about this, about the importance of still supporting and respecting your parents in their old age. The wisdom of grey hair. I seem to be getting wiser and wiser and wiser. This is three verses from Proverbs, which is worth considering. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Keep them in your lives, as it were. Listen to what they say. Consider it. There might be times when you think, well, no, that's not where I feel God's telling me to go. But do listen and value what they're saying. They've been through this. Here's a good one. The glory of the young men is in their strength. Grey hair is the splendor of the old. So everyone says, if your hair starts going, losing its color, then you can say it's the splendor of the old. I'm feeling quite splendid this morning. And listen to your father who gave you life. And do not despise your mother when she is old. They need our care. We need to keep remembering them and caring for them. We have that responsibility as we grow up. So, I want us now to focus on that fourth verse there. There was three verses which says, children, obey your parents, and then he quotes that commandment. But then we come to this verse, and it gives fathers instructions. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's the verse we're going to unpack a little bit. And I want to put down a disclaimer first. As a non-parent myself, you're probably looking at me and thinking, you don't know much about this. So I've gone and got some help from other sources on here too, and put some of my thoughts in. Yes, I have, but I realise that this is not easy, this is not simple, it's not like on the Waltons where everybody's perfectly behaved. It's more a bit like at EastEnders, I think, at times. Hopefully we can get it not quite that bad. So this is not going to be a judging zone where I sort of say, you miserable failures. No, I realise that this is hard, there are hurts involved, and it can be exhausting. So having said that, here's some of the ideas from other folks I've got, and I feel from the Word. So Paul's instruction, now it's written to fathers, and I think mothers come into this as well. Fathers, as Paul's been saying, have the overall responsibility, and it's quite a responsibility, not just to be submitted to, but to love their families, their wives and their children too. But mothers too have a responsibility to help in this. Do not exasperate your children. Now when I thought of that, do not what your children? What does that mean? So I consulted the dictionary. To exasperate, to cause anger or extreme annoyance in someone. That's the Cambridge Dictionary. To cause great irritation or anger to, infuriate, the Collins Dictionary. And if you go back to the King James Bible, you get this. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So basically, you, by exasperating your children, you cause the children to tighten up and to become really frustrated and angry. Passing your anger on, in effect. And Paul's saying, don't do that. But how would we do that? Not intentionally, I'm sure. But here are some thoughts. Sometimes discipline might be too harsh. There's a thought that sometimes you might hang them down upside down outside the bedroom window by some chains or something. That's probably going too far. Discipline can seem harsh at times, and it's probably best not done as far as it can be avoided in the heat of the moment. Now, if your child is about to run across a busy road, you stop them. And that's your main thing. You stop them and dissuade them at that course of action. But if it's possible, try and avoid disciplining at the heat of the moment when you're angry, because that can cause stress, excess punishment. Better when calm, reasoned and clear. Assurance that the parent loves them still is needed. And ask yourselves, are there explaining factors for the child's action? Why are they doing that? That's one thought. Encouragement not received. And that can get the child to ask, was my parent really interested in me? Does mum and dad really care about me? And sometimes I might think, well, they only tell me when I get things wrong. And that can be very frustrating as well, when the child's not confirmed. Yes, there's times when you need to tell them that they're wrong, but also tell them when they're right as well. Sometimes very high standard sets can be a problem. I'll never be good enough to please them. Now, there's a happy medium, I suspect, between someone who will say, what, you only got 99% in that test today? You miserable failure. And the other end, somebody saying, oh, well, Johnny, at least you spelt your name right this time. So, happy medium in the middle there. You need to encourage them as well. And it needs to be that they have the knowledge that even if they fail at something, you will still love them. And they're not sort of saying, gosh, if I fail this examination, my parents will be really disappointed in me, and they won't love me. And another thing that I came across was, as a parent, are you hoping that the child will fulfil your own dreams for you where you failed? The classic case is, I really wish I'd been an international footballer. And you push and you push and you push your son, and they don't quite make it. And then, again, that pressure on the child. And then a couple of other factors. Are there issues in sibling rivalry? Now, if we were looking at fatherhood, Jacob's probably quite an example in this one. 12 sons, don't know how many daughters. One of them gets the coat of many colours. And just look at what that caused. The anger and the bitterness amongst the others. So be careful there. And also, when discipline is over, when you've told them off and punishment's been served, am I still loved? They need to know that. Again, some suggestions. Talk and act together as parents. Pray over issues. And sometimes you need support, possibly from parents, and possibly from other parents, other mums and dads in the church. Find help from those who faced these issues in the past. They can be quite overwhelming. And also, be prepared to say sorry if you've got it wrong. We're not perfect. Sometimes we might make mistakes there. And sometimes the fault is not all on one side. So even if you're just 20% to blame, say sorry for that. There may be times when the riot act needs to be read, and here's a father doing said that. But beware of the dangers of exasperation, and remember this passage as well. Notice the incredible contrast here. This is Paul writing earlier to the Ephesians, and he's saying this: get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. That's the standard way of doing things. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And that's the Christian way of doing things. Notice that contrast there. There'll be times when you get it wrong. So I'm not saying be perfect, so I don't expect you will be. But there's needs to be considered. So, that was beware of exasperating your child. Here's Paul's instructions for fathers, and again, mothers, to bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. That's the second part of that verse. So we looked at some of the don'ts in Paul's instruction. Now for the positive commandment. And I think when Paul writes this, he has in mind the children of Israel. Way back to the instructions that he gave the children of Israel, as they were bringing up their children coming through the desert. And this is what Moses told them to do. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Two things there. One, be careful you don't forget what God's done for you. Remind yourself of those. And two, teach your children and show them how they need to teach their children so that this memory passes on. How God rescued you, what God did for you. Moses continues, and later on we find this. Fix these words of mine in your heart and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them while you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So the responsibility there to pass this message on. Not necessarily waiting for some big time to do it, as you're just walking to school with your kids. As you're just getting ready for bed, when you get up, when you're just in normal conversation at home, make this part of the discussion. You're telling them about what God has done and why we go to church, what Jesus has done for you. Now, the very sad fact is about that, is that when we go forward 70 years or so, and now, after Moses died, Joshua is coming to the end of his life, this is what we read in the book of Judges. After that, whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, after the people had crossed the Jordan and had conquered the land with God's help. The next generation, another generation, grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. So they got into their land. With God's help, they conquered the land. But they hadn't passed the message on. And their children just ignored God. They hadn't had the message passed on to them. In their own land, they'd become comfortable, no crisis, and they're too busy looking after their own interests and teaching God's words and works forgotten. And probably one of the saddest books in the Bible to read is the book of Judges. And it describes many times how the children of Israel walked away from God, forgot him. They repented in the end, but then they forgot him again, and it goes worse and worse and worse. So when we forget to pass this message on, troubles come. So bring them up. I wanted to have a look at that in the training and instruction of the Lord. Provide for, now that's, yes, you need to feed them. Yes, you need to clothe them, to school them, to train them. But more than that, there's a love you need to give for them. In that previous chapter, the one we've read, Paul says to the husbands, love your wives, but love them just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus was prepared to die for us. And that's the sort of love husbands need to have for their wives. I think in some of the older versions it adds, remember to give her chocolate at various occasions as well. But it's been lost in our translation. But yeah, it's important to love them. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. So love them as you would love your own body. And it's the same sort of thing with this bring them up. Bring them up and feed and care. It's the same word, loving both wife and children as himself. And then Paul goes on to say, so bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I think the idea was, like Timothy had been brought up, from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From the time of his childhood, from infancy, his parents had shown him the Holy Scriptures and have shown how they show the way for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And they brought him up, that and the children to learn, and helped him to keep learning. And as the passage goes on to say, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. So again, building that up in the children there. So that was Timothy's experience. And today, and here's a question. When we write the priorities on our list as to bringing up children, what we see as important, we may well come to something like this. Good behaviour, well, probably about 10% of the time. Happy child, good school, and learns well, we'd like. They're keen to get on. They grow talents. They make friends. And they're not too demanding. That might be on our list of wishfuls. But don't forget the importance of knowing what Jesus has done in all this. Passing that message on, that's important. Some time ago, a vicar, one that we know quite well, wrote this in his blog in 2015. We are to teach the children in our midst, not just to know about our Lord, but to love him. That's much more challenging than the imparting of information. How do we go about doing it, was his question. And it's still the question today. So it's, well, teaching them facts, what happened in the past, the history there, but how to love our Lord. That's the thing he was looking to teach and to stress. As I say, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at some of these things. You can't just leave it to Linda in the Sunday classes. We need to do it as parents ourselves. We have that responsibility to showing what God has meant to us and how he has loved us. And in Psalms, there's this verse which we've had on our wall as a church for a long time. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done, sharing that with the children to come. Now, I realise as I come to the end now that there's going to be pain and hurt here, because not every child that comes through our church stays a follower of Jesus. Some will get to adulthood and decide, this is not for me. There are so many voices in today's world which draw people away from the faith. So many pressures on them. And it's very hard. And what can happen is, if our child or anyone we know, a family member, walks away from the faith and says they don't believe anymore, we can feel like a great big slab of guilt come on us. What have we done wrong? Don't hold that guilt. Bring it to Jesus. Pray for them and keep praying for them. It's vital that we do that. So don't lose hope. Keep praying for a child that's gone away. God has a long reach. And the last thing I want to say to you is just to share you a story from the Old Testament about that. This woman, Queen Hephzibah, you may or may not have heard of her or know who she is. So I'll give you a clue. She was the wife of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah you may have heard of. He was one of the best kings in Judah's history. And he, when the enemy came along, took the problem to God, and against all sorts of odds, God rescued him because he trusted in what God would do. And he put his faith there. Just before King Hezekiah died, or 12 years before, a son came along, King Manasseh. Well, he wasn't king when he was born, but when his dad died, he became king. And his mother, I'm sure, had all sorts of hopes that this king would follow in his father's footsteps and follow the Lord. He did exactly the opposite. It says in the Bible that he was the worst king, or one of the worst kings of Judah's history. But she may well have kept praying. It may even be that this happened after she died, but she kept praying for him. And eventually, God kept trying to reach him. He spoke to him, but he was ignored. And then God allowed the enemy to take him captive and put him in chains and put him into prison. And here we see King Manasseh in prison, having been taken captive, and then God answers the prayer. In his distress, Manasseh sought the favour of the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. The prodigal king, in effect. He'd done just about everything wrong that could be done when he was trying to be a king. He ignored God, turned to other gods, but he came back because he humbled himself and God challenged him. Prayer answered. There's always hope. So, don't give up. Keep praying. As we go through this month, at the end of the month, I think Mark is planning a day of prayer for those we know who've gone away. So keep an eye out for that. Pray for those who you think have gone away, and don't give up. Amen.